This is Renegade Broadcasting.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Graham Hart Show here on Renegade Broadcasting. Sorry about last week, folks. I was under instructions to watch the England-Iceland game, and I wish I didn't. But on saying that, I've had many requests over the weeks. Get Dennis Fetcher on. I thought, well, okay. So tonight, my special guest is Dennis Fetcher, also known as The Fetch. He is an American expatriate living in Amman, Jordan, and the author of the Illuminatus Observer, a blog regarded by many as simply the finest Hermetic Kabbalah blog in all of blogdom. The Fetch also has a second site called Inside the Eye, which broadcasts every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. EST. And with that, good evening, Dennis. How are you, my friend?
Hey, good morning. Good evening. Good morning. What is it? Good afternoon?
Good day.
Good day. Yes, I'm usually doing morning. So, yeah, it's great to be here.
Yes.
At a rational time, by the way, because usually when I do Renegade, it's like 5 in the morning, 4 in the morning. I'm like, man, this is going to be a long day. So your show is like rational because you and I are kind of like on the same time zone.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I was going on with Sean. He asked me on to do a show about Cornwall, where I live. And we're going to do a pre-record, but it's not happening, Sean. So I think I'm going to have to do a 3 to 5 in the morning, brother. And I'd rather do it live anyway. Yes, it is nice to be on a decent time. Most people listen to this on the podcast, Dennis, and the chat box stays very quiet. But that's all good. Just before I came on air, we were saying about the weather. And I am really pissed off with it, Dennis. I really am. We're here now in the beginning of July. It's midsummer, and we've got the central heating on.
Yeah, you know, it's going to make an expensive summer when you think about it.
Well, yes, it is. But then it's only money, isn't it? So.
Yeah, you know, I'm here. I just came out of Saudi a month ago. The temperature there is 109 Fahrenheit. I don't know what that is, Celsius.
No, me neither.
Here today we're 32. You know, 32.
Yeah.
And right now we're 75, but we have 61% humidity. So it's very sticky. You know, even with the nice temperatures, you know, I'm dressed down. I feel very sticky. You know, I want to go shower type of thing because it's really so humid the last day to 2 days. But nonetheless, you go out, you know, 75 degrees. You go out to the Argila houses. You know, we're in the Middle East still. So you got to blend in a little bit, guys. So you go to the Argila houses. Watch the girls. Yes, you can do that here, believe it or not. And enjoy yourself. Watch the football. You know, been watching Euro Cup. Come on, 2016, everybody. I'm here in the Middle East, so that's very popular. So we've been watching France and Germany and Italy and Iceland, and pretty much that's it. I just the last few nights I've been kind of picking it up.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's been a good tournament, but I still wonder if it's all controlled. I heard Dick Gregory say that 60% of NFL games are fixed, and I wonder what, at the tournaments sometimes whether they're even fixed as well. Because we went with the England team, we went with a damn good squad. This is the best squad since we won the World Cup in 1966, and we have just failed pathetically on team selection. It's just like Roy is. I think Roy could be Jewish. You know, I really do. I think he was in charge of the England team when we went when the last tournament was in Poland, and he took them to Auschwitz, and he put the little hat on. You know, so I'm wondering what's fixed and what isn't.
Yeah, you know, and I looked at it last night. You know, you had France and
Iceland.
Iceland, and you look at the guys from Iceland, they're the classic Nordic long beard, you know, blonde hair, beard look. Their women, of course, were beautiful. And then you go to France, and it was like, what is with this 70% African team? This isn't a French team anymore. Do the French even know how to play football? Because if they don't have their imported African players, they're not going to be able to even field a team, possibly. In which case, maybe Iceland could beat them, but I was very disappointed because I saw so many African players for France.
Well, they kicked off with seven, Dennis. They kicked off with seven black players and four white.
Yeah, this is not France. This is an imported international African team. Bottom line, as far as I'm concerned, France, and I'm actually serious. France, I don't care about the political correctness anymore. This is a European Cup. These are not Europeans by any stretch of the imagination. We are talking about European stock playing. It's not like we're going to import a bunch of tough Germans to go play in the Asia Cup for Japan, right? We're not going to do that. It's going to be the Japanese against the Koreans, against the Indonesians, against the Saudis and everybody else that wants to play. So I find this highly, and to use Jewish terminology, offensive. I actually was disgusted last night watching this France team play, seeing it's not even French people anymore.
It was incredible. It was so noticeable, and friends who think the same along the same lines as us posted about it on Facebook, saying, what's French about this team? And as they showed the team, they went along the line. I thought, black, 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 white, white, black, 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 white, white. It was just incredible. And then they looked at the bench, and the French manager is white and his assistant. And there's this hell of a crowd of black players behind him. I don't know how many whites there was there. But I think it was even more than 70% of the whole squad, Dennis.
No, I didn't look at it, but I did see a team photo. And it was on Twitter, and they were basically saying the same thing. Where are the Frenchmen?
Yeah.
Because it was literally a pure African team. So, you know, the French, you know, we can say this on our Independence Day, and you know how many times we Americans talk about bailing the French out because they lose their country all the time to the Germans. You know, we should have just left them to the Germans, I swear, because France would be such a better place today. You know, no matter how many times we bail the French out, they just can't seem to keep their country. And last night was kind of evidence of that. They don't have a country anymore. This is an African squad. There are no French players. Sorry, France, you suck. You don't have any football players. And I was disgusted watching you guys pretend like this was a French team, because it's not.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it started here in the 50s, right after the war, when we had a lot of West Indians come over because there was a shortage of manpower after the war. That's a nice move. And a lot of West Indian came into the country, into London, and then they were coming into then Pakistan. People from India and Pakistan were coming into the Midlands and into the north, up into the north of England there. And the country now is just, Cornwall is left untouched. We're not black at all. I have a few black friends, lovely people. They are by what I call natural migration. And this is the huge problem now, where Germany has just, I don't know who said it, Dennis, it could have been you, that 2 million black people, all male, came into Germany last year, 2 million black males aged between 20 and 35. What the hell does that tell you?
Yeah, this is obviously the Kalergi Kodinov plan. It's an issue that, you know, I hadn't been covering over the years, but, you know, as Renegade broke off, you know, because, you know, we came out of that Oracle band.
Yes.
And Renegade came off and it went its way. I kept on my channel. Other hosts that were with us kind of fell off. Lee Rogers went and off into like Zulu land. I don't know what he's doing. I'm not criticizing him, by the way. He just completely changed from when we knew him back then and from when I started over there. So, you know, but I'm late to it, but I'm not, again, because I have a Filipina girlfriend, a half Chinese son. We are part of this multicultural world. A lot of people get like angry with you. They don't, you know what I mean? They're not sympathetic to your life's work, your life's effort, you know? So we don't try to inject ourselves at the core because it opens us up to way too much unfair criticism. So we kind of stay on the fringes and remain kind of like the impartial guy who supports what is going on there without trying to become a lightning rod, because quite frankly, the second you try, you're going to have the political wings out there really hammering you. They're going to try to just take you down no matter what. I've seen it before. This is human nature. So, you know, it's best for me to stay on the fringes as an impartial reporter, kind of like, I guess, what you're famous for.
Yeah, sure. I mean, but the thing is, Dennis, for you to have a girlfriend from where did you say?
The Philippines.
That is natural. It's what I call natural migration. That is never going to stop, and it'll always happen. And I don't have a problem with that at all. That's how black people arrived in Cornwall, but they're coming in the odds and sods, and it doesn't cause a problem. It's when we've got to build now a 52,500 houses going in Cornwall, and it's when the blacks come in, and I take no disrespect to my black brothers and sisters at all. I don't do this pro-white. If I say pro-white, I seem to say the wrong thing. What I'm against is white genocide. And this is what we're seeing in Germany, especially at the moment. And there's all hell has broke loose in France, which is not being covered. But when it's happening through natural migration, I don't think we have a problem. Never will. But when you send in 2 million in 1 year, all males, all black, you know, then you've got big shit going down.
It's estimated that Jewish organizations are spending some like $17 billion a year to pull this off. So this is what I really hate, Graham. I don't know if you follow the Twitter a lot, but there's people like Dean Porter. I don't know his name, but these guys are a bunch of Israelis, crypto or not. Some of them are crypto. Some of them are, they're not even trying to be crypto. They are always full on anti-Goy. Or get the Goy angry with the Muslims. See the Muslims do this. See the Muslims do that. See the Muslims do, but never, ever, ever do they reference or mention the Jewish issues behind it that's bringing it all about.
Absolutely. This is my problem. I've got some comments on my show pages and I see Muslims being attacked. I mean, maybe this is in America. I see white America. And the Afro-American. Maybe these people now are pouring into America as well, Dennis. I don't know if you know what's going on back home. But, I mean, we're used to this. We've been used to this since the 50s, but now it's happening at such a pace that it's going to make such a difference. But as I was saying, these 52,500 houses that are going to be built, who's coming? They're going to be Muslim, and they're going to change the culture of Cornwall forever. And I understand that threat. Like I said again, natural migration is not a problem and never will be. But when they come in hordes, as they did in the 60s, they sent over 60,000 English. Now, your culture just cannot handle that. And now you can look around Cornwall, and what we're seeing now is Eastern Europeans, who are, quite frankly, a pain in the ass. There's a lot of good ones, a lot of nice people, but there's a lot of shithouses out there as well. I had to go into town today, and I'm hearing Polish, Estonian, I don't know. It's Eastern European languages. They are not coming here to try and win in Rome. You know, they are not trying to be a part of our culture.
No, I'm from Los Angeles. So when you talk about an international cosmopolitan city, it's like, in some respects, it could be considered the Dubai of America. Okay. Perhaps New York too, but you've got the Korean zones, the Thai zones, you've got the Chinese zones. I mean, I remember Alhambra, which is a city not far from where I grew up. It was a 98% Mormon town, which would then be, of course, be white American. And within the span of one generation, the Mormons sold basically their entire stock in the city to Taiwanese Chinese. And within 20 years, that town became essentially a Chinese town.
Yeah.
So I've watched this happen, and because I'm from L.A., L.A. is kind of a transient town. It's not a town that has roots like, let's say, you know, a home, you know, some type of a village type setup like maybe you're talking about would have. L.A. is not like that. It's, you know, 12, 15 million people, very cosmopolitan as far as its population goes. But yeah, what's going on in Europe is not what's like LA, you know, or Dubai. This is a planned destruction of the host cultures.
That's by the Jews.
Wrong. And it's by Jewish people. And that's what's really pissing me off is that Twitter is so fast to look what the Muslims did. Oh, there was a bombing today. It's like, yeah, well, you let them in, you stupid jackasses.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, so that's the main issue we need to hammer. Yeah. From an impartial point of view, because we don't need to, at my age, your age, we're not going to be starting families. So we don't need to worry about the demographics of having a family, if you know what I mean. We're not, I'm not starting a family at 55. Okay. I'm just not going to do it. So I'm not going to have to go out and look for quote unquote a wife of my genetic stock, blah, 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 you know, to with this racial connotations. I don't need to do that. I need someone who's going to take care of me in my old age, you know, and that I can live peacefully with, you know, because we've already, and that's a problem too in the West that Jews created for us. They've turned our men and women against each other.
For sure.
Through the divorce laws, through the feminism, to where even we can't even trust our own women anymore. And women might say, no, fans, that ain't, no, it's really true, guys. We just can't trust. When you see people building careers and lives, and the next thing you know, they're being taken to court for divorce and losing everything. That sends a very strong message to men that, hey, we need to really be careful because there is the business side of family creation, et cetera, et cetera. And those are issues that the community, meaning the European community, the women and the men, they're going to have to deal with it on a very rational level because that's an issue that has to be solved. If you're going to get back to creating families, growing demographics, you know, they don't have this problem in Russia and they're growing their demographics. But we have it here in the West and that's part of the problem also.
Yes. My own demographic is from when I was a young lad looking down a long street. Well, I would call a long street of Cornish cottages, old miners' cottages, probably about 80 houses in the road. And there would have been two families where there wasn't a man in the house, where the marriage had gone upside down. But the rest, all those families were together and were to until they left this earth. Now that just doesn't happen anymore. Even with, divorce is like off the wall. It doesn't matter. This happens everywhere. It's just quite incredible. So the family breakdown, which is what they're trying to create, they've already created that.
That's done. I agree.
That's already done. So I do take offense to people who go on about the Muslims. It's the Muslims this, is the Muslims that, is the blacks this. Whatever it is created by the Jews, and they're the only ones we need to be chasing.
Yeah, because everything else is resolvable. You can deport these people en masse at any time.
Sure.
Round them up, put them into camps until they agree to get repatriated. All of this can be politically done, but it can't be done with a Jewish power structure blocking and checking every step of the way and then worse, funding the entire facts on the ground that people are now having to are being forced to deal with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Brexit, Dennis, as someone who's interested in global politics, what I seen with Brexit, I thought, yep, everyone wants to come out, but we're staying in. It was a little bit like the Scottish referendum and the last general election. They were both rigged. And I thought this would be rigged, but maybe it was even too powerful for them to rig them this time. Or is it rigged anyway, and does it matter?
Yeah, I've been thinking the same thing, that this was just too powerful for them to block. They just didn't have the demographics in place to block it. But you know what? You know, it's still, as you know, it's an arduous way out. They're talking 2 years unless you guys invoke Article 50, which is going to, you know, of the, what is it, the Lisbon Treaty, I believe. That would expedite the whole affair. But otherwise, these elites know they got plenty of time to just jack around, talk, blah, you know, blah, blah, blah. Wait, you know, in the meantime, they can try to change facts on the ground, maybe go for another referendum, which is their typical way to short circuit these type of civil referendum. Remember what they did to Ireland a few years ago.
Sure.
I don't know how many referendums they had until they finally, quote unquote, got it right, you know, to join the EU. So, yeah. But I think this Brexit is a huge, it's not a ripple. It's not a tidal wave either, but it is certainly creating a disturbance in the political sea of Europe. Mm. And quite frankly, I don't think the EU can survive. I know as an economic monetary bloc, it had its points to counter, quote unquote, U.S. money, you know, because you'll be going back to national currencies. But it's time. Let's be honest. The EU is worse than the Soviet Union. And the Soviet Union was basically a Jewish monstrosity. So the EU must also be a Jewish monstrosity.
And now it looks like I think other nations are going to ask to come out as well. So Brexit has really opened it up for Germany, France, etc.
Yeah, that really, yeah, it sent ripples through all these safe harbors, you know. And now I think if you're a nationalist inside of Europe right now, it's an exciting time to be active, because never have you had more sympathy than now. Mm. It's not like the 60s, 70s, where you really had to fight hard and you didn't get anything. Now people get it, you know. You just had the event in Sweden where they had just a simple, come on, it's a simple music festival. And you're going to have this mass sexual assault going on by, and you have to wonder if it's not planned. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
By these same Jewish groups to get the two sides pissed off at each other. But then they forget about the Jews behind the scenes. Because, you know, these things seem so organized. Cologne, the massive assaults in Cologne on New Year's Day. Now this little minor music festival in Sweden. My take is I'm sure that these aren't random. These are being planned and organized. And when you get into planned and organized, you have to factor in the seedy side of Mossad, the seedy side of Jewish politics, because they are the ones that are pushing and have for over a decade, almost two decades now, since 1996, this clash of civilizations between the West and Islam.
Yeah. Yeah. Incredible. Incredible. It's the Jews. I keep repeating that. I just think it needs to be said a few more times. It's the Jews. Forget the other forget what else is going on in between. Forget the Muslims against the Christians and the yes vote against the no vote here. It's the Jews. The division in the UK, Dennis, is incredible. It's never been so glaringly obvious to everyone that we're in deep shit here, because you can lose an election with a three-party system and people will balance out the seats where you get just a minority government or a hung parliament or whatever. Now, this was a call between two things, yes or no. And it was 52 to 48, whether you're in or whether you're out. That's a hell of a division. A hell of a division between people.
Yeah, and if you look at the
demographics,
though, if you were to use the demographics, how much of that 48% is imported demographics that actually shouldn't even have a say in what's going on right now?
That's true. That's true. That's interesting. I was just watching a program. Well, my wife was watching a program before we came out, and everything that comes out of TV has got to be the opposite. But the guy was going around asking Asian people, do you want to stay in or leave? And they were saying leave. So maybe that would tell you that they all want to stay, but they'll find the odd one or two that suits their their agenda.
Yeah, what people need to grasp, Graham, in this, because this is a multi-generational war against Western civilization. You know, Karl Marx, he's long dead. There was a guy by the name of Baruch Levy. He wrote that the Jewish people as a whole will be its own Messiah. It will obtain world dominion by the dissolution of other races, by the abolition of frontiers, the annihilation of monarchy, and the establishment of a world republic. Now, he was writing to Karl Marx over 100 years ago. So we are looking at an multi-generational plan within Jewish power structures to bring about, really, the destruction of Western Europe, because that's their enemy. I mean, we've always been their nemesis. We've kicked them out 200 times from 109 countries, something like that, over a 2,000-year period. And we will continue to be their nemesis because we don't really fall for their bull crap for long. You know, we get it. We see it quickly. Our DNA structure is Kabbalistically tuned, I say, just as well, if not better than theirs. And so we can really catch, you know, our antenna go up pretty quick when we see what's going on. And we just need more antennas up. That's one thing for sure.
Absolutely. I believe that's happening right now.
Yes, it's great to see. Honestly, it's great to see. Graham, you know, I don't know what you're doing 10 years ago or 5 years ago, but 10 years ago, 5 years ago, you know, we were talking about this and we were getting trolled, harassed, banned, ridiculed. And guess what? We were right. So just be patient. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep, you know, we're patient. We do it for our people. And now look, you know, it's way beyond the Fetch. It's way beyond Kyle. It's way beyond you. It's everywhere. And Donald Trump's people are jumping in on it. And these are mainstream media that we couldn't have hoped to have reached 5 years ago, 3 years ago even.
Well, 5 years ago, I was fast asleep. But just 5 years ago, I think I was waking up when Gaddafi was having his head kicked around like a football in the desert in Libya. So, yeah, we've come a long way since then. I find the Jew thing for me, Dennis, I had a email from a listener. I'm just trying to pull it up because it was he was listening to me when I was with PIR, People's Internet Radio, where basically it's seeking solutions, which is great, talking about how we can beat them lawfully and legally. And when I had Dennis Wise, then Tom Goodrich and Kyle, and then I had Charles Giuliani on, I went, holy shit, I'm getting this. It's the Jews. It's the Jews. Jesus Christ, wherever I've been, it's always the Jews. But I've never really looked at this and taken this in. My God, it's the Jews. And Lonnie wrote from Canada, sent me an email, said it was fantastic to witness your awakening to the Jewish problem, Graham. And I thought, well, it must have been really interesting watching me to come from trying to find remedy to problems like mortgages, people losing their houses, etc. And all of a sudden I'm waking up to this, it's the Jews, and it went from, the odd mention of the Jews to Jew, and then I got fired. So, how long have you been awake to this, Dennis?
Since 2001, 2002, 2003.
Okay, so not really that long. Well, it is. It's a lot longer than me.
Yeah. Well, in the internet world, I'm at the beginning.
Okay.
Okay, because the internet's 1998 is when we just came out.
Right. Okay, well, I want to follow that up a bit more right after the break, folks. Don't go away. It's Dennis Fetch Show, and we look forward to seeing you on the other side.
These are the top five reasons not to vaccinate. 1. Vaccines have never been proven safe or effective. Vaccine studies funded by pharmaceutical companies compare vaccine side effects from one vaccine to another. 2. Vaccines do not work. They may create a temporary increase in antibodies for a particular disease, but this does not equate to immunity to disease. 3. The very first vaccine was a disaster. Vaccine safety and effectiveness is a created myth, strongly embedded in the American psyche. 4. Vaccines are highly profitable for pharmaceutical companies and the healthcare industry. 5. Every study comparing unvaccinated to vaccinated children demonstrates that unvaccinated children enjoy far superior health.
And welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen, with my very special guest this evening, Dennis Fecho. Dennis, yeah, I was just going to get a bit of clarification on when you became Jew-wise.
Again, you know, and, but, I wasn't really needing to focus on it until, like, I got online. Because, you know, in L.A., you're doing your own thing. I'm actually working with Jewish people. I was kind of aware of how unfair and dishonest they were. Okay. Like going back to 96, 97, 98, because I work with them.
Oh, I never experienced that. That's very interesting.
No, I work with them in the telecommunications world, and they were not honest. They were generally not ethical. They were just difficult to work with. They rarely, it seemed, to honor their deal. Whatever you agreed to really was never agreed to, no matter what you agreed to. So I was aware of just how dishonest and I've got some, obviously if you work with Jewish people, you're going to have some Jews that are good to work with.
Sure.
That's just natural. So yeah, there are some Jewish people I've worked with in the past, but I've worked with people from like advisors to the Federal Reserve Board to, political systems to leaders in the telecommunications business. And so I've got a good, well-rounded history with them. I mean, I work with them.
Yeah.
But when it came to the political side of it, there was no need for it because we didn't have a voice until the internet.
No.
You know what I mean? Once we got online and we started to express ourselves, that's when the hypersensitive, antennae of the Jew came out. You know, they are just hypersensitive to even the minutia of what is being said about them. And when you start attacking people over minutia, especially someone like yours truly, we're going to wake up really fast. It's like, what exactly is motivating you to be a complete jackass? And then you start to peer into what's going on. You start digging, you start probing, you use techniques to attack different types of thought lines, taglines, whatever you want to call it. And pretty soon you start to see there is an organized structure in this world today that keeps people from being able to voice themselves. And, of course, we see it in our media, not just in the UK, I'm sure, but in the United States. People are always having to apologize to the Jews. I mean, give me a freaking break already. Oh, I'm so sorry. I should have known that could be offensive. I get out of my face by now. So and this nauseates me because it's obviously bullying by Jewish leadership to impose themselves not just on that person, to humiliate that person in public, which in our society is something you don't go out of your way to do. You know, we try to be more fair with people, but they're not. They want to humiliate people publicly, and they want to also shame them to the point that we're supposed to be afraid. Well, screw you. You know, really, screw you with that mentality.
And it's the depth. It's the depth that I find, Dennis. I was having a discussion with a lady who's quarter Jewish, would you believe? And she will defend the Holocaust to the end. I've given her one or two pointers, and I left it go. And then we were debating Brexit, and all of a sudden she played the Jew card, and I couldn't believe it. She's quarter Jewish, and I find her a really lovely, compassionate lady. But when it comes to questioning her Jewishness, holy crap, does it hit the fan? You know, all of a sudden the Jew card was played. So I sent her over two years of research on the Holocaust, just bullet points. I sent it to her. I said, here, now look at that and you know, get back to me. She came back in 2 minutes and said she don't trust the work of Fred Leuchter. In 2 minutes, you've just put down 2 years research and deciphered it within 2 minutes and given me your opinion, what you believe to be true. People died there. Yes, sure they did. And no one said they didn't, but they weren't gas, were they? I could not believe the Jew card being played by a quarter Jew, so quickly. It blew me away. I thought, if this runs this deep.
Yes. And if you notice, she had a response for you within a heartbeat, within.
Absolutely.
That tells you and everyone else listening just how structured, just how organized.
Yeah.
Jewish society really is. They like to play like, oh, we're not conspiring. But when you have this level of absolute control over the message, oh, I don't trust this guy, within 2 minutes, that tells you just how deep the programming, the mind control is within the Jewish population. And it's not our business to break them of their mind control now. It is our business to protect our interests, because their interests are not our interests.
Absolutely. It was just gave me, I mean, that was what, 3 weeks ago? And I thought, well, that shows the depth at which it runs. My God, they will do anything to protect it. Yeah. It was something that Gilad Atzmon said, that Hitler really did win the war for them. Because 60%, no, not 60%. If you speak to any Jewish cosmopolitan Jew, they will tell you what makes you Jewish. And they say the Holocaust.
Yeah, but, and of course, the Holocaust is like, what is it? It's just the latest of hundreds that they've recorded in their history. You know, I think there was 6 billion that were killed in some Greek town, you know, and before the Christ even came here, theoretically. So these guys are just, they're lunatics. This is a childish society that believes in their fairy tales. Unlike most adults, they don't grow out of their fairy tales. And they want to use these fairy tales to impose themselves onto the rest of us. And again, if you allow them to do it, then you get what's coming to you. Yeah. So our message is, stop allowing children to have their way. And if it's a bully fight on the street, well, somewhere the society, the larger society, white countries are bigger than they are, they're going to have to find a way to bully back and solve these issues, because otherwise you see what's going to happen. You won't have a country. London will be lost. Paris is lost. Berlin's going to be lost. Milan will be lost. It's probably lost already. Milan was already a basket case. You know,
yeah.
Greece will be lost. You know, you're going to lose the West, because that is their agenda.
Yeah, their agenda at the moment, and this is going back to the Muslims, but again, is not the Muslims' fault. It's a Jewish plan. But they now have every mayor in every major city in the UK or in England is Muslim, every single one. Now, that's going to cause a little bit of division.
Well, that's a pretty amazing stat.
Yeah. Yeah. Every single one now, every city is Muslim mayor.
That's an amazing stat. Mm. I hadn't heard that one. That's absolutely phenomenal stat.
Oh, it just... It's every day there's something. But what I was looking at was around Europe, and obviously I've done a little bit of research, Dennis, and listened to a few of your interviews, and I was fascinated by a few things that you said. One was Russia and the National Socialist movement there, because that's what we've all got to be, haven't we? We've all got to become National Socialists.
Yeah, I've actually settled on that also. We need to understand that National Socialism is the future of the Europe.
Yes. Yeah. And how is the situation in Russia?
Well, I'm not in Russia, obviously, so I can't really claim to know.
Right.
But I'm not there. I mean, I'm just not there. I follow it mainly just because of it's an interest to me. There was a major purge this week. The big news coming out of Russia this week is basically the entire Baltic Naval Command was replaced this week. We are talking a major, major purge of Baltic, of basically naval command. And apparently a lot of corruption, lack of readiness. So the Russians are taking this war with the West very, very seriously. Just today I saw some complaints coming out of Russia that, you know, these dang fifth columnists, which is their way of saying international Jews and their supporters, because you have Jews in Russia that are loyal to the state, as did Soviet, as did Germany, by the way. Germany still had something like 300,000 Jews fighting for them. So it's not like all Jews were bad, right?
Yeah, sure.
But these internationalist Jews, they are just still making problems inside of Russia, and they're just kind of like lamenting, how do we just get a dagger in these guys and get rid of these guys? So that's the two latest things I've heard coming out of Russia. I know the Russians have deployed special operations teams now into Syria, most likely to counter probably U.S. special operations forces, just to check them to make sure that, okay, if you're going to be here, well, you can't fight us and we can't fight you type of thing openly. So we're just going to check you with our special operations teams while you're checking us with ours. This type of thing is going on, this little chess game inside of Syria. Turkey is talking today of giving citizenship to millions of Syrians, in the hopes that then they could then ship these people off to Europe. So Europe needs to be really careful with this Erdogan son of a bitch, you know. He's something.
Wow. Wow.
So, and then the last thing was, you know, obviously Russia's not someone that's easy to toy with. And so what they've done is they're trying to come up with a deal now to cooperate now with the Russians against ISIS. So, it's all in flux. You know, this whole gambit going on in the Middle East is a Jewish monstrosity. Quite frankly, I wish we could just carpet bomb Tel Aviv, for many reasons. 9/11, the Liberty Incident, the Lavon Affair, you name it.
And those to come in the future.
You know, it may. I mean, at the point, it will come point in time. You know, we whites can be just as ruthless as obviously Jewish people can be. We are not at our heart that way. Quite frankly, we're far more forgiving. They call us Gentiles or gentlemen for a reason, right?
Sure.
But at some point in time, it's like, you know, the patience wears thin, and Jews know that. That's why they are fighting so hard for hate crime laws and hate speech laws and Department of Homeland Security, you know, because basically that's just to protect their homeland, not us American type of thing. So they know it. I mean, these guys know it. They're not stupid. They are stupid because they just can't live in peace with people, but they're not stupid.
No. Do you think that Putin is a player?
I think Putin's a nationalist, and I've said that all along.
Okay.
I've said this, you know, I think there's a lot of distrust and mistrust of him because of quote unquote his affiliations with Kabad and Jewish power structures inside of Russia. But I think people are not rational when they start to lob these criticisms. We know that essentially there was a deal between the head rabbi of Kabad in Moscow. He's a weak person. And Russia's basically Putin said, look, we'll give you the official title here representing Jews, but you must back the state. And the Kabad folded. So they're not as strong as Kabad's not like the Kabad of Hollywood, which is absolutely anti-Western to a fault. Putin is against these people, and that makes him our ally.
I've asked people, but I've never got that clear an answer before, Dennis. So that's good to hear.
Yeah, the guy is, and quite frankly, Russia, they are so far advanced compared to U.S. electronics weapons. And war is fought more with, at least at the you know, the first generation, the, you know, this military on military, these wars are fought electronically first and foremost. And within 3 to 4 years, it's estimated that Russia is going to be able to neutralize virtually 100% of U.S. electronics, which means that the U.S. will be blind trying to do anything to Russia. Russia will then be secure to just go ahead and do what it says, develop its vast interior, work at raising the standards of its people, which was lowered to a terrible degree during Jewish control of some 100 years. Believe me, the Russians know who was behind the murder of their people.
Yes.
They know. And what happened in the 1990s, when you had hundreds of thousands, and perhaps a million Jews were essentially kicked out of Russia, everybody. They went to Israel and they went to America and some went to London. But these were Jews who were kicked out of Russia. That created the modern day Russia now, because finally they were able to get rid of these people. And that gives Russia intelligence inside of Israel.
Oh, interesting.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, some of these I'm sure are working for the Russians even to this day. Come on. So, you know, our point is to isolate like National Socialism did. See, I think the problem I've always had with the modern day quote unquote white nationalist movements out there is they are too, and partially because it's young, they're young, Graham. They don't have this pragmatism on a political level yet. They're too focused on race, which is okay, but they do it to the exclusion of allies who are more than happy to work with them. And that's a big fault of theirs. I mean, come on. Germany, meaning National Socialist Germany, had Jewish people fighting for them. They had Muslims fighting for them. They had a lot of people from different parts of the world fighting for them, just as the British are able to do. And people need to stay more pragmatic. Today's leadership in the white nationalist movement, they're going to need to just open their eyes a bit, and it'll open you up. Trust me, it will open you up to some subversion, because you might allow people in because of trust, you know, that you wouldn't otherwise. But at the same time, it's a big planet. It's not just white people on the planet. You're going to need allies, and you're going to have to find these allies, work with them, and focus on the problem, which is, again, Jews, because everybody has the problem with these people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. I think that was brilliantly put. Your speciality, or what got, I'm almost want to ask, I can't even say it. I know that you got the English Kabbalah. We were going to talk, ladies and gentlemen, about the English Kabbalah, language politics, and the Assisian Code. Is that right, Dennis?
Assisian codes.
That's right, Assisian code. And if we run out of time, we're going to talk about baseball. But I don't think we're going to get there.
He's about the baseball.
So,
and I got the World Cup in. Okay, I had to mention because I watched the game last night,
right.
And I was just, I'm serious. Even now, I'm still disgusted. It's on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, I know. I can understand that. The Assisian code. Could you give us sort of a layman's breakdown of this, please?
Yeah, what it's based on, you know, and this is coming from an old Masonic text back in 1928. But what they did is, Gematria is theoretically, okay? Because you don't have to agree with it. It's this idea that there are words that have the exact same value, share some type of esoteric equivalency. Now, I think that's BS for the most part, quite frankly. But there are words that do have esoteric significances that have the same value. In other words, it's not everything, if you know what I mean. But there are craftings in our language. And one of those was they took Isis, which is the goddess Isis. It adds to 56. And Speech adds up to 56, and religion adds up to 89, and Osiris adds up to 89. You can add in a lot that Shakespeare did a lot of playing around the number 89. So he's kind of like saying, I'm from the Osirian mystery systems type of thing. And so basically they're saying, look, the speech as Isis is wed to the religion or the written word as represented by Osiris, and that within our Western traditions, we have a spoken component and a written component, and we have an achromatic or a oral tradition that combines them together within our secret society so that we can explain to you what we're really doing with the language. So the Isisian mysteries or the Isisian codes is essentially that speech code that is resident inside of the English language. What is the philosophy of our alphabet, how the letters are formed, how the numbers work, how the phonetics work, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's kind of like the Isisian codes is the esoteric code of the English language.
And what did you discover from it?
Well, essentially, it's the word, the Freemasonic word that they all talk about is really a number, and that number is pi, and English is the absolute hyperdimensional representation of this constant, which then means that Freemasons, when they broke off within both Britain and the United States, they were looking to perfect this quote unquote, this word that could then be spread around the world. So therefore, English as the word would come to dominate the planetary system here. And by controlling the languages of this planet, obviously it gives us who speak English and are from this tradition quite an enormous advantage over those who do not control this quote-unquote word on planet Earth.
Now, that's interesting to me because I see the English language as a bastardized language.
Well, a lot of people do, but I say it's a lot cleverer than people think.
Well, I'm talking mainly, Dennis, from a legal point in the courts.
Again, nobody's going to question that. It's not a straight language. It's filled with misdirections and deceptions and
absolutely admiralty law.
Yeah, it is again, but that's not where I'm coming from. I'm coming really an esoteric construction and a philosophical construction. That construction ultimately says our system of the West is diametrically opposed to the Jewish system, and that is what got me in trouble over a decade ago when I started to say, no, our system has nothing to do with Jews and their Kabbalah. Screw them. Ours is opposed to them and will always be opposed to them. And I theorize that that is why they are so eager to control our language, because the philosophy within it at a metaphysical level reveals the fact that these guys are like the Antichrist, if you want to go to that level. And so the way they want to control reality from getting out is essentially to put themselves as dominions and lords over our language. And that's what they're doing.
So they're using there's two sides to this language. It is one, it can bring us all together. But it can also trick you. It's such a language to trick you. I'm talking legally, which I don't do. I noticed you had Clinton Richardson on Friday on the Hour of Three, Dennis, and he was talking about the straw man. And I studied law for, and I sort of put it to one side because I know who I am. I'm a flesh and blood man. I'm not a name on a piece of paper. And I know who I am to the point where I can handle myself with ease for all these stupid bills that they send out. Mm-hmm. So the language, they've used it. It seems to me that they are pushing, they want this, they want English everywhere.
They do. That's if you look at just like the English as a second language business, of which I'm part of it, you know, but I work at the military government level. It's everywhere. You're talking about armies of people spreading over this globe to spread out the English language. Armies of people. Right. It's necessity. I mean, if you're going to get into the aviation world, you must handle yourself with some English proficiency. If you're going to be in an air force of any kind, for the most part around the planet, you have to speak English. We have the Stanag systems in NATO, which sets the standards for English levels within the various units of NATO, no matter which country you have. I think it's known as Stanag 61. So to say that English is wanted out there, I think there's, again, two reasons for that. One is because we, on the good side, can use it to unite ourselves. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, our philosophy recognizes that you have a very negative, nasty, to be polite, force, which is represented by the Jewish people, and they're especially their elites, who are looking to use our language to destroy. And it's up to us to fight, of course, for our way, and trust they're going to fight for their way. And the problem comes when you don't fight. I think Einstein said something like that. You know, it comes from good people not doing anything when they see evil doing something. And that's really, that's kind of true, though. If we don't fight and stand, what do you want? You get what's coming to you. This is what races are about. You don't win a race by standing on your laurels. You got to get out there and compete. You got to run. You got to hit. You got to hit harder. You got to run faster. Whatever the case is, guys, you got to work. You can't just sit there and do nothing. That's the message. Get out and do something. And I'm not complaining. I've seen a great improvement over the last 5 years. I mean, come on. Let's not give credit when credit is due. You know, it's much better, I think, today than it was 5 years ago. So let's give everybody credit, but you must keep working even harder, because the money and the power and the law and the language is all stacked against you at the moment.
It is. It is indeed. But it was interesting the way that the English, the old cultural languages have been wiped out. This was, the Cornish had their own language. The Irish had their own language. And we all fell for the potato famine, and 5.2 million people were wiped out. And along with it went their language, which probably used words that actually said what they meant, rather than you could take four or five different ways. And then I find out that, well, what do you know? The Cornish also had a potato famine in 1845 to 1850. So that's why where our language went. We were told it was something completely different, how we lost our language, without going into detail. But come to find out that it was 1845. We were slaughtered. We were massacred. The Cornish genocide. Okay. Coming up to the end of the first hour, I'm moving into the second part.
My name's Shield Maiden. I'd like to talk to you about a serious problem plaguing the world today. It was something that I suffered from for years. I used to fantasize about shoving Jews back in the oven. I had dreams of creating lampshades, and for months I fought the urge to surround every Jewish name I saw with parentheses. But thanks to Anti-Semitox, I am now a happy little goyim slave again. Anti-Semitox helped me realize that Jews really are the chosen ones, and not the money-hungry evil parasites I thought they were. Stop being a free thinker and become another sheeple. Try Anti-Semitox today. Their white genocide agenda depends on it.
This is Renegade Broadcasting.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. A little bit slow on the button there to the Graham Hart Show here on Renegade Broadcasting with my special guest tonight, Dennis Fetcho, also known as The Fetch. Just in case you don't know, folks, I do have a Facebook page called The Graham Hart Show, and you could mail me with any suggestions, criticism, comments, jokes, anything will do, at thegrahamhartshow@mail.com. It's that simple, thegrahamhartshow@mail.com. I'd be pleased to hear from you, and thank you for your comments and emails that I've had to date. It's always interesting to have them. Dennis, you and I have a friend in common who got me into trouble the other day, actually, because you called him a genius, I believe, and I didn't. that's one Dennis Wise.
Yes.
He's a hell of a guy, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a good guy. And, you know, when I look at it, the genius, well, I forget why I even used the genius. There was a reason for that. The genius behind the something or other. But there was a reason for it. It just kind of flew off the tip of my tongue.
He won't let me alone for it. You don't call me a genius.
Well, you know. tell him it's that American BS that these Americans always do or something like that.
No, I think he's quite happy with that as it is, thanks. Quite happy with that.
No, he's done a great work, you know. Fantastic. Oh, yeah, that was it. The genius behind the greatest story never told. You know, I teach people, you know, out there a lot. I work with executives and government people and sometimes even people like that you might see on TV that are giving speeches or at a forum or something like that. You know, these conventions, sometimes the government will send out its speakers. Well, sometimes I'm the guy teaching them sometimes how to talk, you know, how to structure things, how to speak, you know, that's what I do.
Right. So you've got a real job.
Yeah, it's a real job and it's important because I'm influencing indirectly and directly people in power.
Yeah.
Trust me, these guys are really in power. And so, you know, the reality of power is often different from the perception of that power. And because I'm there, I'm kind of pragmatic with it all. You know, I'm not so, you know, enamored with it. It's fun. It's a lot of, it can be exciting sometimes, but at the same time, I'm not enamored. You know, the power comes with a lot of hard work and dirty work and stuff like that too, type of thing. But I always tell people, combine your P's, combine your G's, combine your L's, you know, like Little Lonnie or Genius Behind the Greatest Story Never Told, right? That was just a case where I was just combining my G's, you know. That was it. It was the only word I could find at the tip of my tongue.
How did you find his work, though, when you saw that film? Because you're around. I mean,
Honestly, I've never watched it.
Really?
Never watched it. You know, here's a funny, true history, and I've told this story before. In 1989, at the fall of the Soviet Union, they released to the Americans, to Hollywood, all of these color photo videos, you know, the actual film, the literal film, you know, the 8mm, whatever that film size was, to Hollywood, to somebody in Hollywood. And they flew it by transport, Lufthansa. And I was then a messenger in the film business picking up videos from all these various different studios. And I got a call to go to Lufthansa to pick that up. And so I picked up all of these color photographs of Adolf Hitler, not photographs, but the actual videos. And I picked him up off at the airport, and I took it straight to the cutting hall. The rule, you know, the order was take it to the cutting room, the editing room. And I sat down and I asked him, what's this? And he told me, and I took the day off, and we just sat, and he and I watched the very first color photos, videos of Adolf Hitler to reach the West. I was the guy to see them right there in Hollywood, actually in Reseda. Wow. And of course he's got these videos. I'm like, yeah, I kind of remember seeing those. So that's kind of a fun little part of history there, you know.
So you already knew.
Well, I was always a student of National Socialist Germany anyways. Okay. So I never bought into the BS.
Right from the start.
From the start, yeah. Uh-huh. I've never bought into it. So I've pretty much agreed with my view of history, which is probably going to be in line with what Dennis is doing anyways. You know, I trust he's got the same conclusions I've got type of thing. But I was a student of it. I kind of looked like Adolf Hitler when I was young. So like one time in high school, I put a swastika armband on my arm, and I was in a suit, and we put a Hitler mustache on, and I combed my hair and put it in place to where I looked pretty much like Adolf Hitler. And I went and I greeted people as they came to the school play and ushered them to their seats as Adolf Hitler. Can you imagine doing that today? No, but
I'd like to try.
Yeah, me too. It was a lot of fun, you know. People would goose step by me because I was like very smart. So people would goose step next to me with their arms raised, you know. And this is 1978, 79, you know, 77, 78, 79, 80. And so, you know, you got people goose stepping in front of my classroom when I was in the class, you know. So yeah, I was always a student of this history and been fascinated by it, and never bought into really the Jewish bullshit.
That's really interesting because I did, like most people, I did. You must be a rarity there, Dennis.
Well, you know, I studied as in high school, and I had a really good teacher who allowed me to go beyond the box.
Wow.
And she told me straight up, she says, you know, you're going to be under a lot of pressure to stay in a box. Just don't let them do it to you. And she was great. She was a fantastic, one of the best teachers. That is the type of teacher you want, really. And she encouraged me to look beyond the box and to really study things and not to listen to what the status quo is. Because she always told me the status quo will be false.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've been awake 5 years. And it started with learning the old governments or corporations and taking that route in. That was my route in, where Clint seems to be coming from now, which is interesting. I don't know if people know how to handle fines and things in America or in this what I call sphere of knowledge. As I said, I've only been aware of the Jew problem as a worldwide phenomenon. I'll get it. Excuse me. I'm wearing these teeth in for the dog. I've only been aware of that for about the last 9 months. So when I saw The Greatest Story Never Told and Hellstorm, it just blew me away. I mean, the shock was, I can't put words to it. It was so shocking. Makes you very, very angry. And I had Rick Simpson on a couple of weeks ago. What a guest he was. And he was telling me after the show, we were talking, and he said that he's got a degree in history. He knows all about the war. He's got a degree in Second World War history. And I just said, well, press delete, because you're going to have to start again. It's a hell of a shock. The biggest shock of my life, without a shadow of a doubt. So for you to come and you already know that, that's really weird, because you're sort of there is no shock. It's gradual. Whereas for me, there was nothing, and then there was Dennis's film, and then there was Kyle and Thomas's film, and it just floored me for months.
Yeah, I think Kyle outdid himself, quite frankly. I've been collaborating with Kyle a long time, so Kyle, don't take this personal. He and I have collaborated a really long time on the English language aspect of this all, and I was a guest on his early shows. I'm the one that recommended that he come to Oracle Broadcasting. I advocated for him to be accepted there, the most. I know that for a fact. So I've had some influence in Kyle equally, and I thought he did a fantastic job with, Hellstorm.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And the fact that YouTube and Jewish Power had to ban it, lets us know what a fantastic job that was. I mean, to his credit, I've never been banned. I've been banned more than I can count. I can't say I haven't been banned, but I haven't had something that high level of a work, you know, an exposure get banned, if you know what I mean.
It's great, though, and because as soon as you ban something, everybody wants to see it.
Yeah, exactly. I always find Jews to be idiots. You know, you're just counterproductive. All you do is just advertise what you theoretically don't want us to see. But I've never seen them to be a bright people. I've seen them be tenacious, unfair. They win to me more by being unfair, quite frankly, than being smart. They do things that are unethical, that and unfair, that we just wouldn't do. And that gives them a huge advantage. And then, of course, you got the courts, constant threats of courts and this and that. And, that's another issue.
Well, that's
Kyle, good job.
The courts are great. I don't have no problem with the courts. Once you know who you are, it's funny, when I started to learn about law, and they're all corporations, so you've got a contract, you've been led to a contract through the birth certificate, et cetera, et cetera. We're all trying to work out how do we best not pay our property tax. And everybody's trying different ways. And there was one, how long have you been doing that? About 6 months. Well, cool. You know, you're doing good. Hold them off. Don't pay it. How about you? 9 months. Well, well done there. And this one lady said, how long have you not paid your council tax now? And she said, 4 years. I said, how did you do that? She said, don't answer the door. In other words, you don't engage.
Well, that won't work in America. They'll just send the sheriffs in and kick you out. But
really?
You know, yeah, they won't even hesitate. They'll just sell it at auction, and then the next thing you know, the sheriffs are going to be at your door saying, excuse us, but here's the order. We're going to be starting. Then they will literally throw your stuff out on the street.
Wow.
They will just come in and throw it out. So that doesn't work in America. I remember my ex-wife. She's from Tianjin, and she bought She bought a house, an apartment in Tianjin. And she said, you know, oh, this is not like America. It's not good. They only give you a 99-year lease. And I said, how much did the lease cost you? And she said, it cost me like $1,500 for 99 years. I said, okay. I said, how much is your tax every year on this place in Los Angeles? And she said, $900 a year. I said, okay, that's your annual lease here. I said, the Chinese are far more equitable than the Americans will ever be, because don't pay your tax, and guess what? They're going to come take your house. So don't say the Chinese aren't being right. They're far better than the Americans are.
Well, that's, in terms of, I know you've had millions have lost their homes in America.
Yes, yes.
But there is a way. There is a way that we've discovered in the UK. Not a lot of people know about it, but I am going to bring the guy on who conceived this idea, or is one of the key men anyway, called the Official Offer Made Simple. And using their rules, providing you make a payment, a monthly payment or a weekly payment, as long as you're performing on that mortgage, they can't touch you.
Well, that would be interesting. Just pay them like we do here. Pay them $10, $15 a month. And,
sure, that's like all like a match.
We'll just say, no, they're working on it, and you guys resolve it now.
That's what's happening over here. And it's been, for those who are doing it correctly, or is happening, in, I should say, more so in Ireland than anywhere else, it's being successful. They're keeping them at bay.
Well, that's great to hear. I mean, it's great to hear. I'm not in the systems. I'm here in the Middle East.
Yeah.
But that's great to hear.
Jewish Gay Congress. Gay Congress. Gay government everywhere.
The
we have to deal with in Jewish Gay Congress, Dennis.
Yeah, another pet peeve of mine. The LGBT Jewish militancy is at its zenith. Let's be honest. These guys have absolute power. You've got a gay president. You have a transgender first lady. This isn't a secret anymore. I mean, everybody pretty much knows it. That's in the know. And if you're not in the know, there's plenty of evidence out there on YouTube to go check it out. Michael Obama or whatever his name is, you can see his thing shaking in the wind as he's dancing on national television. It's not very difficult to see. But it's terrible, how much these people have used their power to suppress any and all dissent. They are ruthless. Aside from the depravity, they're ruthless. They go out of their way to harm you. They go out of their way to shut you down. They go out of their, they're ruthless people. Absolutely ruthless. Don't know how to say it other than that. Mm-hmm. These aren't people that have a stake in the future. It's a one life pony for them. They don't have children. They're not going to procreate. So they don't care about the chaos. Obviously they're leaving behind. Because they don't have a stake in the future. These people need to be driven from power, literally driven out of power and never allowed to rise up again.
And do you see that coming through the political system?
Well, I believe that, you know, we have to work through the political system. They came to power through the political system. You know, so I believe the political system is where it's at. I'm not saying that there's not a need for revolution, for some... Every nation has its violence. I mean, people say Putin's not a good guy. I don't care if he's not a good guy. It's what is he doing for his people? So you're going to have cases where you may need to put pressure on a mayor somewhere, where you may need to put pressure on an official somewhere. You know, if they're not doing their job, well, maybe you need to put pressure somewhere. How that pressure is put is up to the local political power base, not for us. You know, and if you need to take that guy aside and have a nice long talk with him about what he's doing within the community, that's your right. Hey, it's your political base. That's your home. And so these things need to happen. As far as the militant gay stuff, again, this is what Putin was against when he went against the anti-gay programming targeting children. And of course the U.S. media, which is Jewish owned, made this out. He's so anti-gay. He's against gay programming targeting of children.
Sure.
Which is what you have nonstop here in the West. This needs to be dealt with. And again, to deal with it, it's very, very difficult, obviously through the political process, but the political process includes, you know, acts of pressure. That is part of the political process. And when you hear about people dying, doing an investigation, and then their car kind of like wraps itself around a tree, well, guess what? That's part of the political process, folks. Understand it. That's part of the political process. And that, you know, and of course, How is it being done? Use your common sense. It's very simple. You need perhaps the sheriff. You need the coroner. The coroner, once you get the coroner to sign off on the death certificate, case closed. There's no case. Bury the person. That's how it's being done. When you have someone that can, let's say, expose massive amounts of heroin by the government in a particular area. All you need to do is target them with quote-unquote non-lethal, lethal electronic weapons, give them a heart attack, give them a brain aneurysm, and you sign off on the death certificate due to drugs. Finish. This is how pressure is being used in the political sphere. You're not talking about rounding people up and putting them in FEMA camps and shooting them all. That's not how the game is played.
Interesting. Very interesting. And you had a lady, I believe, who opposed the some anti-gay bill, Dennis, and she was shut down. This has gone back a couple of years now. I forget the lady's name.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, that's part of the political pressure. And understand that Jews, the power within the Jewish community is they have an absolute expert understanding and practice at political pressure. They know how to pull the levers. They know how to kill somebody if they need to. Come on, look what they did on 9/11, everybody. This was a massive operation. Okay, so you can talk about major pressure because they told the world, we're going to pull this off, and what are you going to do about it? Yeah. And think about it. If you're a monarch here in the Middle East, like in Saudi, like in Jordan, and you see this happen, and you believe the news, a lot of these guys aren't that smart. They follow the frickin' news just like you and I do or used to on the CNN and everywhere else. They believe the news.
Yeah.
They do.
I know. Like,
come on. What are you watching the news for? But they believe it. Okay, what are you going to do? They believe it. Deal with it. And then they see that, but then they start waking up and also like everybody else. And the U.S. military, the Pentagon was hit by a missile. It destroyed naval intelligence, yet the Pentagon can do nothing. The Pentagon had the Liberty ship bombed, strafed, napalmed, 34 men killed, some 100 and some odd wounded. And to this day, there's no compensation and nothing going on regarding that. Guys, when you see this type of power projection on the U.S. Instruments of state, what's a monarch like King Abdullah going to do like over here? If you in America as the Pentagon, as the CIA, aren't even going to do anything to help for your own country here on American Independence Day, by the way.
Yeah.
So, and then what's the message being sent? This is also political pressure. This is a way of Jewish elites to tell the world, this is our ship. Look what we can do to our ship. Imagine what we can do to you like we did to Iraq, to Libya, to Yemen, to Somalia, and anybody else that gets in our way.
Hmm.
So pressure is key. I mean, right now Brexit is a type of pressure. And you cannot underestimate, because I've always said good people are working all the time out there, all the time on behalf of humanity. It's not like evil is 100% in control. Otherwise, the planet was lost a long time ago. Even though it may feel like it's lost, it's not lost yet. Let's be honest. It's not lost.
Very good point.
So if you got Brexit, I've heard CIA was involved in Brexit.
Really?
In other words, U.S. intelligence working against this whole Jewish monstrosity was actively involved in helping to get Brexit through.
That's astonishing.
Yes, this is what I've heard. Now, of course, I have no way to confirm that. You can't confirm. It's not like people are fetch. You know, I'm agent such and such with the CIA, and I'd like to give you this inside memo. Yeah, come on, guys. You're not going to get that. Everything is left to conjecture. So the point is that when we go with conjecture, that's you, me, and everybody else in the, we have to at least be rational and pragmatic and vet it somewhat. That's why I don't touch stories like Orlando.
Right.
You know, I don't want to touch stories and give this, you know, it's a media concocted fabrication. Why do I want to give my energy to it?
Sure.
I don't, because I'm just feeding the beast. Leave it. And this goes with so many other types of media events, but pay attention. I mean, Brexit, it came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It did. It bubbled up, percolated, and then blew up out of nowhere. And I don't think the powers that be actually thought they were going to lose.
I didn't either. I thought that was a done deal, that they were, we were staying in. The fact that we decided to come out, and now I'm wondering, is that planned? Because you don't know what these bastards are up to next. I don't know.
Well, again, the moneyed elite, they're a whole different world. You know, they live in a parallel universe. But the bottom line is that for Europe to be saved, it needs to be splintered. And then locally, people are going to have to deal with the problems that Jews have left them.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
If the EU is in control, nobody can do anything.
I agree. I think it's falling apart anyway now. I think that's I think Brexit was the beginning of the end. I think there will be more pressure now for other countries to leave the European Union. I think it's finished.
Yeah, well, the Soviet Union collapsed. It was a false fabrication. You know, it was a constructed fabrication, yeah, I should say. Yeah. And so was the EU. And the EU was essentially what? A fabricated trading bloc. And they're like, so, you know, all things have their life cycle. And perhaps the euro is on its last, you know, on its last.
They've squeezed all they can out of it.
Let's hope so. I mean, I would love to see the Germans take back Germany. I would love to see Sweden take back Sweden. Obviously, I would love to see Britain take back the UK. I mean, those who are natives there. I don't know about you, Graham, but I have a pet peeve like with the Pakistani Muslims inside of the UK.
Yeah.
Because they come over here to the Muslim world. They got like this super heavy chip on their shoulder. They're arrogant. They're rude. They're impolite. They expect everybody owes them everything.
Mm-hmm.
They bring this militant attitude with them to where, like, they're almost Jewish, to where you're afraid to even talk to them because everything is, quote unquote, racist if you don't bow down to them. Mm-hmm. I don't like them. I find them to be exceedingly rude, crass, you know, anti-Western, anti-social. So I would hate to have to deal with them, quite frankly, on a large scale like you guys are dealing with in the UK.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty backward down here, Dennis, in Cornwall. It's not happened yet, but it's going to happen. And very shortly, as I was saying, these 52,500 houses that are going to build, that's going to be the big game changer, I think, in color.
Well, that's like huge. Come on, 52,000, that's massive because you're talking
a half a million. Population of Cornwall.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I was going to say 52, if you put 4 in there, that's 200,000.
Yeah.
So if you put 6 in there, you know, you're talking 30,000. 10 is going to be half a million.
Yeah.
That's irrational. How can that benefit any nation state? Where do the jobs come from? Where's the water coming from? This is nothing to me in many respects. This is nothing but a subsidy for the landed elite because they can sell their land, they can build houses, they can develop where they can't do it without people coming because they've destroyed their economy so much that without stealing from the taxpayer, there's just no money to pay for new development like 52,000 houses. I mean, come on. That is a huge subsidy to some builder out there.
A hell of a build, and it's just like I say, people can't see this. I seem to be standing on my own on this. If you mention the color aspect of who and religion of who's coming into Cornwall, yeah, all right, boy, keep quiet. Don't, all right, that's enough of that. You know, just you don't have to think about that. And I'm thinking, no, I don't. You do. You need to think about it because it's going to change it's going to change our culture forever.
I mean, I'm in the Middle East, everybody. So I have to adapt to their culture.
Exactly. And that's not what's happening. Okay, folks, we're coming into our final half an hour.
These are the top five reasons not to vaccinate. 1. Vaccines have never been proven safe or effective. Vaccine studies funded by pharmaceutical companies compare vaccine side effects from one vaccine to another. 2. Vaccines do not work. They may create a temporary increase in antibodies for a particular disease, but this does not equate to immunity to disease. 3. The very first vaccine was a disaster. Vaccine safety and effectiveness is a created myth, strongly embedded in the American psyche. 4. Vaccines are highly profitable for pharmaceutical companies and the healthcare industry. 5. Every study comparing unvaccinated to vaccinated children demonstrates that unvaccinated children enjoy far superior health.
And welcome back to the last segment of the Graham Hart Show here on Renegade Broadcasting. Ladies and gentlemen, my guest tonight is the one and only Mr. Dennis Fecho. Dennis, what's your take now on Palestine? Because I didn't know nothing about the Middle East until probably around 3 years ago. It all started at the same time. I started to learn about the Middle East, World War II, World War I, and the Holocaust. But obviously, the stories of World War I and World War II and the Holocaust are out there, and it's up to people to find them. But Palestine is a real ongoing thing. What are your thoughts about that? And I believe it's the jewel, because if we can save Palestine, we can save the world.
You know, it's interesting about Palestine. First of all, it's a tragedy of massive proportions, you know, what's happened to these people.
And we'll let it happen.
You know, there's like, you know, Jordan houses something like 6 million refugees. Not that many, maybe like 3 million refugees. Some of the Palestinian camps have been here for 40 years. Yeah. People still hold their keys, you know, to their homes. I've been involved in negotiations where they want to bring in mafia because they're trying to sell houses to Jewish people. But it's a tragedy, you know, what's happening in Palestine. I mean, when we look at Jewish power, I mean, these people are a delusional people. They truly believe that Jerusalem is needed for them to recapture so that they can bring their Messiah and rule over the planet. I mean, that's the whole gambit here. Yeah. And they believe it. And you've got Knights Templars that actually buy into this, and they're actively helping because they think they get to build the temple for God, you know. Yes, lunacy survives, guys. But this is, regardless, they believe it. It's just a tragedy, Graham. I don't know how to say it. You know, the crimes that Jewish people commit on a daily basis are unfathomable. You know, they kill people, they plant knives. You watch videos coming out of Palestine and they're like somebody's dead, like basically wounded on the ground, and you see a Jew will dart out of nowhere and just shoot the guy while he's laying there, or a girl while they're laying there. You know, we have to factor in things like profitable things, quite frankly, like organ harvesting. These things have to be factored in. These people are ruthless. They are evil beyond any of your wildest comprehension. This is a very evil, meaning Jewish society in Israel, especially within the government level, but the people are supportive. Trust it.
Yeah.
So it's just a tragedy. Whether you can save the world or not, I don't know. I don't think so, because, you know, you talk to the Palestinians and they say, you know, our leadership is no better than the Jewish people themselves. So there's a lot of mistrust, distrust within the Palestinian people and people like Mahmoud Abbas, They see these guys as thieves that are there just to steal from the EU, the United States, etc. They don't have a lot of confidence in their leadership. What nationalist leadership is there, like Hamas down in the south, is obviously ruthlessly suppressed, just like every other nationalist movement out there. But to save the world, I don't know. I think to save the world, we in the West have to purge ourselves of the problems, and that will save the world. There's nothing to be saved, really, in Palestine, quite frankly. Nothing personal.
No, but I'm just thinking from the outside, if people were more aware outside of Palestine in the West of what is actually going on there instead of...
Let's focus on our own countries. Let's just forget Palestine. We have enough problems in your country, in our country, my country, in Sweden, in Germany. With all due respect, we need to focus on our problems. You know, we don't need to, right now is not, in my opinion, the time to divert yourself to Palestine to support a political elite that is just as corrupt as the Jewish state.
Well, you're the first one I've heard to say about the Palestinians being having an elite, corrupt elite.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very corrupt elite.
Okay.
I mean, come on, anyways, you know.
No, that's fine. No, it's
the
really...
The pilot for Mahmoud Abbas is within my circle at one time.
Okay.
Okay, well, yeah.
That's a very interesting take, Dennis. I've never heard that take before.
Yeah, there's no point in us wasting our energy for this political elite in Palestine. Obviously... To help the Palestinian people is an honorable thing to do, but also to help the people of Gothenburg is going to be honorable. To help the people in Cologne is honorable. To help the people in your hometown is going to be honorable. Because it's coming everywhere. It's a tsunami that they're setting up.
Sure.
And so the rush now should be to seal everybody's borders, to take out anybody and everybody that is pro-immigration.
Yeah, yeah.
That should be our energy right now, not saving Palestine. Come on, for Mahmoud Abbas, forget it. He ain't worth it.
Well, I'm thinking about the people, you know.
The people, again, who's more important to you? The people.
Oh, I got a house over my shoulder. I've got a roof over my head, Dennis.
Yeah, I know. Well, who's more important to you, your own country or these people? There's nothing we can do, in other words. There's nothing we can do right now. Right now, secure your borders. Kick out the Jewish power, and then it's going to be very easy to solve Palestine.
Okay.
The way you're going to solve it is to kick out Jewish power. Come on, how much? It's like London is basically nothing but a Jewish cesspool. These people are dual agents for the Israeli state.
Yeah.
So how are you going to help Palestine when you have dual agents running your government? They're not English. They are spies for the state of Israel.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay, fine. You want to solve Palestine, solve it through getting rid of the spies that are double agents working inside as quote-unquote politicians in your government. Because in my point of view now, they are not politicians. These are double agents like any other high-intrigue spying type of novel. Blair and Cameron are double agents for the state of Israel. They are spies.
Well, they're dual citizenship.
They are spies.
Yes. Yes.
They're spies. They are agents of a foreign power, period.
But who do we replace them with?
That's going to have to come from your National Socialist movements.
Right. So it's really all about building the social...
Correct. Correct. Movement. That's exactly correct. Without that, you have a vacuum, in which case you're going to accomplish nothing. Okay. You can't get the National Socialist movement going without people like you and me and others like us creating the space to allow it. In order to allow for the discussion.
Mm.
So you're still at this level where we're trying to reach critical mass. Quite frankly, inside of America, to me, and I know the Renegade team is not pro-Trump, okay? That's putting it politely. But he is allowing for a level of political discourse that was not permitted just 8, 10, 12 months ago on the national scene.
Right.
Okay. So we have to be pragmatic. Take what we can use to our benefit. Obviously, the pro-Israel crap that I hear coming out of Trump nauseates the heck out of me also.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I don't like it either, guys. I'm not a Trump follower, Trump lover, but I like what he's doing for us on the political discourse level. Use this to our benefit. As far as the Israeli stuff, yeah, let's start hammering him. Literally, let's start hammering him. You know, what do you mean Elie Wiesel was a great man? This guy was involved in one of the most monstrous of lies. He vilified whole nations to perpetuate this lie. That's not a measure of greatness. That's a measure of evil and cowardice. Oh, and call it for what it is.
Yeah. So as you see it, it would be best that Trump gets in, and then we can work on him while he's in there.
Yes.
Rather more so, because you're going to do not
Clinton. Yes, because he's going to be beholden to those who put him there. Eventually, this power does work this way, and I know it's hard to believe because we've been disenfranchised for so long.
Yeah,
but power does have to respond to who puts you there, especially in a something like a Trump.
Interesting.
It has to. One, we must focus on the media. Trump knows he's always on the media, the BS of the media. Well, that's great to hear, folks, because we've been saying it for 10 years, but no one was, well, people were listening. They were listening, but now everybody's talking about it. Okay, now we can just throw in the Jewish angle even more.
Yeah.
Because now we got a lot of people, oh, you know what? Yeah, maybe that guy's right. Where we couldn't have done that. We could do it 5 years ago. It was hard to get people to hear us.
That's really interesting. So what's he saying so much that makes you want to, you think you can work on the guy when he's in there? But will he win? That's another thing, because he's popular, again, we know about rigged elections, Dennis. Will he win in light of that bitch Clinton?
Well, I've always said this because I've known this since a really long time. The power structure of white America is within the Presbyterian power structure, and Trump is a Presbyterian. Right. Now, whether he's coming out of this power structure is hard to measure because nobody tells you. However, the landed power structure of white America is far more powerful than people understand. After all, it was our country, okay? It was our country. Mm-hmm. And these people are exceedingly powerful. And Trump is coming from that demographic.
Right.
I just can't believe, although it's easy to believe also, that Western white elites in total, okay, are simply going to fold and collapse and give up their entire cultural work. I don't believe that. I believe that obviously because of media, it's difficult because of political power, money, etc., the way the system is designed, it's difficult to talk. But I don't believe for a second that we're just going to voluntarily give you everything.
Sure.
Not without a fight. Because if it goes without a fight, which is what it appears to this day, actually it's not going without a fight. People are fighting. It would be the greatest capitulation in the history of mankind. And I can't believe, and I don't want to believe, and that the white elites are just going to simply capitulate like that. Sure. We got a lot of stupid people in our ranks, okay? We really do. Let's be honest. We have a lot of stupid people. They can't even freaking go past their Coca-Colas and their baseball caps or whatever else.
It's amazing. I looked at Trump years ago. I knew of him before he became I think everyone had heard of him before he became a presidential candidate. But I just thought, who the hell's this idiot? Who you want this guy for president? I mean, that was my take on the guy. I mean, then again, I'm coming from the position of, can you imagine the planet being run by intelligent people with compassion? We wouldn't be in this mess that we're in now. So, you're talking a bit more from a step-by-step, angle, with Trump. And that sounds feasible.
Well, it's the only way to work. You can't, you're not going to get a national socialist revolution like Nazi Germany.
No.
I shouldn't say Nazi Germany, like national socialist Germany. Okay. Yes. It's not going to happen, especially in America. America at this stage is too diverse with too many political interests going on in there. It's not going to happen in Sweden. It's not going to happen in the UK. There's nobody on the scene. We don't have the political collapse and the economic collapse that would allow for some type of nationalist leader to rise up. We don't have the awareness of Jewish depravity on the culture like you had in Germany, okay, in the 1920s. They were all keenly aware of what was going on in the 20s. So, you know, factor it all in. I just can't see it happening.
So it has to come from America.
I think so. I know. I mean, yeah, as America goes, the world's going to go.
Yeah. But if America can hold. So we're really looking to America to get us out of this shit.
Well, we're looking. No, I think it's got to be a team effort. I think we need victories like Brexit to.
Yes.
You know, at least shake up the tree a little bit and let people kind of look, let us talk, let us who are the pundits and the talking heads for our rank and file type, give us some victories here, give us some victories there. Let the French lose to the Germans so we can talk about the African French team. You know, let us talk about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Let us highlight it. This is, you know, we need victories everywhere. It's going to have to be a cross-European civilization fight.
Yeah.
Really, it is. I mean, let's hope that Geert in Denmark or wherever he is at, he's able to get a referendum pulled off and then another country can get out of the EU.
Yeah.
Let's hope that we can get sanctions dropped against Russia that will get money back into certain political power bases inside of Germany. Because right now, Jewish money is funding all of this chaos.
Well, they got the print.
They've got the print, but they're funding it.
Well, they got the printing presses, is what I'm saying.
Well, they do, but
they equally, print as much as they want for them.
And they do that. That's obviously a problem. But again, everything is solvable. We're not a stupid people. And no. Jews are so all-encompassing smart that they always win. They've lost everywhere they've ever gone.
And they don't like to be challenged, Dennis.
Well, no, they can't afford to be challenged because they're not that smart. Stupid people like Jewish people must have stupid people around them because if you have really smart, smart people around them, they feel threatened.
It's a nice thought, isn't it?
Yes, it's true.
The other thing that I noticed when just going back to Palestine, which I wasn't aware of until I heard you say this, Dennis, was the big business of immigration and refugees. This is big business as well of people coming.
Well, it's huge. Yeah, you know, it's kind of like taboo, but I always say that, look, you know, King Abdullah is like, guys, that look, we support your country, okay? But it's like, you know what? How much money can we make if we bring in 100,000 refugees, you know?
Jesus.
So, yeah, I think there is a big business aspect to it. Jordanian elites know this. They talk to me about it. You know, I'm talking about the Jordanian elites, the elite within Jordan. They say, Dennis, you know, but we can't talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but of course there's a business. Come on. Of course there's an aspect to that because Dennis, come on. We're raising $4 billion here, $3 billion there. How can we deny there's not a business?
It's incredible.
Right? How can we deny it? I mean, come on. It's a major export at the end of the day.
But I don't think, I wasn't aware of it until you mentioned it. I wonder how many people are aware that it is big business.
It's huge business. Come on. All these NGOs are here. I got a gal. She works with like Medical Sans Frontiers and, you know, they've got their side of the pie and other people got this side. And, you know,
today Qatar donated $4.6 billion to Jordan to help feed the refugees.
Okay. That's an export, guys. You just exported $4.5 billion and what you exported was the misery of these people. To try to alleviate their misery. Okay, so misery is an export.
Oh, dear. Dennis, the 2 hours almost, my friend, have just flown by. I suppose I ought to ask before I forget, because I usually do. Your websites, my friend,
Yeah, InsideTheEyeLive.com. InsideTheEyeLive.com. That is for the radio show. Again, you can hear me every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Revolution Radio at FreedomSlips.com. We have a huge listener base, by the way. The station tells us, Graham, we're reaching 20 to 25,000 people live.
Fantastic.
That's amazing. And we get...
I don't ask.
Yeah, we get a couple thousand downloads. So we're doing okay. The show's doing great. And then illuminatusobserver.blogspot.com, it really is, even to this day, I go back and read through it, and I'm like amazed at what I wrote. You know, this is going back almost 10 years now. It's got so much cool stuff about the English language. I'm like amazed even myself sometimes, being removed from it from a few years now because I don't keep it up like I used to. So no. illuminatusobserver.blogspot.com and insidetheeyelive.com.
Fantastic. We're okay for a few minutes. So I looked at the wrong digit. I think I might have picked up the wrong cigarette. I'm not sure. It can happen, folks.
I'm thinking of going out and getting some like argila tonight after the show.
What's that?
Argila is the shisha, the water tobacco that you might see the Arabs locally smoking. The hookah, you call it, hubbly bubbly, I think, in the British parlance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking of going out because I'm like sweating like a dog here. It's 61% humidity.
And what did that stuff do for you?
It makes my head spin for about 20 minutes.
Oh,
but it's Ramadan. I can't go buy alcohol. So what do? You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
but today's the last day, by the way. Tomorrow I can go buy alcohol.
Oh, right. So they do sell alcohol there. It's just during Ramadan.
Correct. So tomorrow the liquor stores are going to open up, and yours truly gets where I'm going first thing in the morning.
You're welcome to it.
So
it doesn't do nothing for me more than headache, and I must go for a wee. And once you break the seal, that's it. Every 20 minutes. So no thanks. I'll stick. No,
I like to enjoy. I go actually and watch Euro Cup football.
You got no choice.
You know, there's nothing else to do here. it's not like I'm.
Yeah, get rid of the hell of go by. Let's quickly get rid of Ramadan quick out there, folks.
Yeah, the locals are like really into football here.
Yeah,
so it's kind of like and for Americans who don't get it, European football is by far and away a superior product to anything you'll see in America.
Yeah, it's a wonderful.
America is like AA baseball, you know, compared to what you're seeing in Europe. These Europeans are good. And I'll tell you, that German goalie impresses the hell out of me.
Oh, Neuer, yeah, he's incredible. He's one in the world.
He jumps up and down and he hits his head on the crossbar. I mean, this guy's big.
But you've got you've had some good football teams come out, Dennis, you know, in the World Cup. Was it not last time, the time before the USA, they reached the quarterfinals, which is damn good going. And a lot of Americans play pro football.
Listen, I'm from LA. If you don't win it, don't bother me. Okay, come on. I'm an LA guy, okay?
I've been there. Yeah.
You know, we've got the Dodgers, the Kings, the Lakers. If you don't win it, please.
And a hell of an airport.
See me next week. Yeah, that is a big airport, isn't it?
Oh my God. There's a story. There's a story. I arrived in East LA from Fresno on a Greyhound. There's a book.
Oh, that's scary.
Oh my God. Yeah, but it's interesting, you know, was that there were two white people on the bus, in their late 60s, I would think, and myself. There are three white people on the bus and all the rest were black. And, that was an interesting experience.
You know, I hate going back to LA just because you take the bus, you know, you take the train out and you got to go like through South Central LA. And it's like, oh my God, this is the scariest place. This is like a different planet.
We were stuck in East LA and we couldn't get to the airport. And this Australian guy who was in his 20s grabbed my hand. I felt like a little child because he was well traveled and he knew his way around. And, my God, I just want to get out of there so quick because I seen the film Born in East LA, you know, and I thought, no, I don't want to stay here.
No, East LA was like a no-go zone when I was growing up. So I'd hate to see it now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty scary. I was pretty scared, but,
there's nothing worse than a 290 pound black woman waddling down the aisles of the train, screaming at her kids. Holding one and, you know, in her shoulders, the other one slapping it around. It's a scary thought, you know?
Yeah.
This is not a civilized people. I'm sorry.
How old are you, man?
22.
How many children you got? 9.
Yeah. Twins. I started when I was 12.
I don't come to Fresno much anymore. Too many shootings. I'm thinking, shit, what am I doing? Where have my friend dropped me?
Yeah, I was once walking through South Central L.A., and I'm going through this neighborhood, and this black guy comes out and says, hey, Wood, that's for white guy, right? What you doing in my neighborhood, Wood? I'm like, I'm just trying to find my way to the bus station, okay? He says, well, you shouldn't be walking through my neighborhood, Wood. I want you to stand right there. Wait just 2 minutes. I'm going to go into my room, grab my gun, and I'm going to come out and rob you. Is that okay with you? I'm like, you didn't really tell me that just now, did you?
Oh, bloody hell, America.
Sure enough, he went into the room, and I said, you know, he's probably serious, and I just ran the hell out of him.
Oh, L.A. Oh, I love
L.A. L.A. is like, you know, people say, aren't you afraid of the Middle East, Dennis? I said, dudes, come on. I'm from L.A. Okay? I could sit in a nightclub in L.A. This is a true story. I'm sitting in a nightclub, a Vietnamese nightclub in Long Beach, okay, having drinks with some Vietnamese gals. And the Japanese taught me, Dennis, always have your eyes to the door. That's the samurai way. So I made sure I always was at with my eyes to the door, and I saw the butt of that gun or the head of that gun come through the door before anybody else, and I was on the ground before they could even get into the door, and the Vietnamese women were piled on top of me, okay?
Sounds pretty good.
So don't tell me how to survive, okay?
Cover yourself in woman.
And it was pretty good. Yeah, I was like, yeah, this is not bad. I hope they stay for a couple more minutes.
Oh, man. Dennis, it's been so much fun to have you on, brother. It really has. It's a good laugh. It's nice to relax back a bit sometimes, you know, and give me some different perspectives, because it's all about perspectives.
I
can only give my perspective from where I am in Cornwall. And like I said, it's pretty rural and backward here.
It ain't Riyadh, I'll tell you.
No. But
I got people, friends of mine, you know, because I'm in the military diplomatic type world, you know? So some people I have, they're like on the helicopters that fly King Salman around, and their job is to play sniper. Like him.
Dennis, thank you so much. Thanks for jumping. Can't stop me now. You can do the same, yeah. What have
Try some Renegade replacements.
Replace body lotion with coconut oil. Replace cleaning supplies with vinegar and baking soda. Replace perfume and cologne with essential oils. Replace laundry detergent with borax, washing soda, and Castile soap. Replace packaged food with local produce. Replace pharmaceuticals with herbs. Replace mass media with Renegade Broadcasting and Renegade Tribune. Replace your Zionist occupied government with nationalists.
Enjoy.